Hey there, Merritt here. Happy unusual summer of 2020. I am taking a break from producing new episodes this summer because I'm spending these months investing in my new mastermind group and working on two projects just for you that I haven't had time to finish before now, but I cannot wait to share them with you. The first is an audiobook roadmap of the spiritual journey of launching a God-shaped dream, and the other is my imposter syndrome curriculum intended to help you get past this very tough roadblock in your dreaming. So instead of new episodes, I'm re-releasing some of my favorite episodes from my first five seasons of the podcast. They're the ones that I loved, but maybe you missed, and I hope you enjoy them. And I have two tools just for you to help support your movement toward a God-shaped dream this summer. Number one, I have compiled journaling questions for each of these episodes that will help you process your dream. And I want to challenge you, even though it's summer, even though it's still kind of a pandemic, that there's some deep internal work we can all benefit from before we're able to make real progress toward our dream. So go grab the journal packet in my store at merittansah.com/store. It's just $5 and it'll help you go deeper as you consider and begin to take the next steps in your dream. Then number two, come find me and other dreamers inside the Devoted Dreamers Insiders group on Facebook. I'll be hanging out there at least once a week and we can chat about whatever you're struggling with, the spiritual battles we face as Christians and dreamers, and how you can move forward despite it all. All right, thanks for being here. And now here is your episode for this week. You're listening to season four of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Merritt Ansah, and this show exists to help you step over whatever is holding you back from all that God created you for. You know, the more I talk to women about their dreams, the more I hear the echoes of fear, imposter syndrome, of who am I to do this? Or somebody else is already doing it or could do it better than me. I recognize those voices because I've wrestled with them too. But I'm here to tell you that you cannot let the voices win because you are a daughter of the King. God created you with a purpose, one that's unique to you. And He put those dreams in your heart for a reason. Sure, it's scary. Yeah, you might even fail, but you also might learn something and then pick yourself up and lock arms with your community and keep taking the next step. That's why we're here, and it's what this podcast is all about. And I pray today's episode will provide exactly what you need to keep moving forward toward the dream God has put on your heart. You'll always find the show notes for each episode on my website at merittansah.com/podcast. And there will be more later in the show about how to connect with me and the Devoted Dreamers tribe. But now, here's today's episode. Hello, Devoted Dreamers, and happy Valentine's Day. I am so excited to introduce you to Tiffany Bloom today. She is the author of Never Alone, a book and a Bible study that just launched last week, and I think you're really going to love hearing from her about this. It touched my heart as I was learning a little bit more about the work that she's been doing. But Tiffany's a speaker and a writer, and she's passionate about helping women come to know their value and purpose because of a loving and redeeming God. So I think that fits really well with the things that we talk about here on the podcast. She has spent her life chasing after Jesus while walking alongside women from suburbia to the inner city jails and brothels in the slums of Kolkata. I hope I said that right. Tiffany speaks regularly at conferences and events, writes for a number of websites. You've probably read some of her writing. She lives in Tacoma, Washington with her husband and two sons. And Tiffany, we are just thrilled to have you, and congratulations on your new book and Bible study.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, will you please just start us off talking about what your God-shaped dream is?
My God-shaped dream is to serve women. I think to serve women, whether they're the up and out or the down and out, I think women more than any other people group in the world face oppression in ways that are unjust and unfair, but there truly is a God who meets us where we're at, and he meets us in our time of need, and he's the lifter of our heads. And so my heart and hope and dream is that women will find the God who is the healer of their tragedies and the giver of their victories.
And so your bio talks about you've had conversations with women like all over. So can you share a little bit about maybe where this dream came from? I don't know if the dream came before or after some of these encounters. So will you walk us through a little bit of that?
Oh, yeah. Great question. I would say I grew up, I had a really solid, healthy high school youth ministry experience, and it wasn't abusive or weird or awkward, and it's something that just really implanted the beauty of the gospel within me. And I think walking from that and the missions experience I've had and being able to travel overseas and even just serve in my own community, I found my heart bleeding for women. As a woman who's faced all kinds of things and knowing that all of us were, you know, we have different experiences, but it's our suffering that binds us together. So I think processing through my own issues and seeing other women go through these hard times, I found a deep love and a deep need all in the same place. And it was in the heart of women, mm-hmm. both here and around the world.
And so how does it feel having launched your first book?
It's a pretty exciting thing. You know, it's one of those things where I always knew I was going to do this. I always believed that this is what I was going to do, and very much as a man thinketh, and knowing that, you know what, this, I've got this in me. And if I don't do this, the world may keep on spinning, but I sure won't. I've got to do this in some way, shape, or form. And for anybody who's ever wanted to write and publish a book, you know how hard it is and how much work it takes. But just knowing it's worth it. Why? Because on the other end of that book is a reader who I pray will be so blessed just by my honest account and failures and victories. And so it's a really humbling thing to know my story's out there, but also I believe that God has a plan for it. And no matter whose hands it's in, I pray that they would find their comforter and redeemer of their broken and hard moments.
Yeah. And it's, you're serving also kind of in a ministry role alongside teaching and speaking and writing. So will you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I really get to play two hats here. So speaker, writer, travel and teach, that is one thing I get to do. And very much two things, writing and speaking, two different things. But the other hat I wear is I lead a women's ministry called Sip and Savor. And it started out with just 12 gals in my buddy's restaurant. It's a fine dining restaurant. It's really very hipster, swanky place to be. And it's closed on Sunday nights. And on a busy Friday night, I approached him as he's, you know, doing his best to get all the food out on a hopping night. And I said, I want to host Bible study here, and I want to do it on Sunday nights. And he didn't even look at me, but he walked away and he said, I'll make you a key. And that was 2.5 years ago. And we served over 350 women last year who come to Bible study. And it's been a wild, beautiful ride to just really not only write words that I won't maybe necessarily get to meet the reader, but really eyeball to eyeball, face to face, love on women in my community, serve them, see their needs, pray over their needs, be available in their hard times, and celebrate their victories. It's really the icing on the cake, because so much of what I do is traveling and speaking, and you don't get to see those people again, or reading, and you don't always get to know writing and don't get to know the reader. So SIP has been a beautiful opportunity to really roll up my sleeves and practice what I believe, servant leadership, right here in my own backyard. So it really is such a treat.
So I always ask, like, what have been some of the challenges? And I'm sure as you've been walking through these last couple years, there have been some. So will you help us kind of get a feel for what that's looked like? What's stood in your way and that you've had to overcome?
Yes. Two answers to that. One is an internal challenge and one is a practical challenge. First, the internal, I would say that as a writer and as a Bible teacher, you just pray what you're saying is valuable, that it really adds value and it really brings people to a place of reflection and understanding. And I think, you know, as a writer, you wonder, you're like, is this worthy of being said? You have to talk yourself. I mean, Anne Lamott in her book, Bird by Bird, it's a book on writing. She just talks about, you know, you got to get over that self-talk. Sometimes half the day can be spent on just overcoming the negative self-talk of thinking, is this even good? Is anyone going to write this? Why does this matter? Why does the world spin? You know? And I would say internally, knowing that because I share in the book specifically so many vulnerable things that have happened to me and things that I've gone through and choices I've made, I think I fear what those closest to me will think. Not the readers I've never met, not the nameless, faithless woman, but really the people who will think, well, I don't think you should have handled things that way, or I don't think, or really they don't validate your pain. I think that's the really gut punch is when you feel like people don't validate your pain. And each of us, our stories are all so different. And our pain is real. Whether it's capital T, traumatic event, or lowercase t, something small that really ate at us, both of them disrupted a positive way of thinking and living and breathing. And so really being able to say, this is my pain and this is what God did. I think that I think in all of us, there's a fear that others would think our pain doesn't matter, or think that we just need to get over it, or think that there isn't a story to tell. And so honestly, again, none of these things are true in reality. They were in my head. So really overcoming those internal battles. And obviously, you know, as I teach and have the opportunity to preach, I think really truly believing that these things, this topic, subject matter that I'm covering, this affects people's lives. Nobody's perfect. Because sometimes you can think, do these people struggle with insecurity or fear or whatever the topic may be that I'm speaking on? And because in your mind, you can wonder, they probably got it all together. But I mean, I'm smarter than that. I know they don't. I'm no fool. But you kind of wonder, is this resonating? So I would say that's the internal struggle. The practical struggle and obstacle to overcome is, honestly, I'm in the season of little kids. I've got a 7 and 3. My 7-year-old, my little guy, is at school, but my 3-year-old's home. And so just finding the time to work the dream, honestly. And you know, working when he's asleep and working at nap time and working, when I can get a sitter when I can. So really making the most of my time and really keeping the main thing. And there's times when, you know, I would just love to crash on the couch because it's exhausting being a mom and working the dream and supporting a husband and managing a life. But to truly be a devoted dreamer means finding time and seeing those obstacles and knowing I can make this work. I have gifts and skills and abilities that bring beauty into this world in some way, shape, or form. So really choosing to make the time to do that. So practically it's been a little difficult, but we've really made it work.
So I do want to dig into this a little bit because I've got the 3-year-old also.
Oh, hey girl, so, you're part of that club.
Yeah. I mean, other than sacrificing sleep, like, do you have other tips of where you're able to squeeze it in? I mean, writing a book is no small thing.
That's not a joke, isn't it? Yeah. So yeah. Writing the book, also the Bible study, they're both over 50,000 words. So the book's 50, the Bible study's 55,000. So not only it's not, and so when I talk about writing a book, the book honestly was nothing compared to writing a Bible study. When you are writing a Bible study, the amount of cross-referencing and research it takes to put that together, that was 10 times harder and 10 times more rewarding, to be honest with you. But at that time, when I had just gotten my contract for the book and Bible study, my husband was a realtor, and he still is a realtor, but now he has commitments during the days that he didn't necessarily, he was able to be a little more flexible in the time I wrote the book. So he was home part of the time when I wrote the book. So I will give credit where credit is due. He was a big part of making that happen because he would take the kids and live the life while I, you know, hid away in the office in my little cave and typed away. My goal, I remember each of those days, because it took me about 4 months to write the book and about 4 to 5 months to write the Bible study. It was to, if I could just write 1,700 words a day, then I would stay on track. So it was a tall order, but with a lot of coffee, I was able to pull it off.
And did you ever wrestle with that, like, oh my gosh, I'm giving up this time with my little ones?
No, absolutely not. Because
Wow.
I am built to be a woman and a wife and a mom. And I am built for a rewarding life and rewarding work and rewarding parenthood. So I know absolutely not, because I felt like that was guilt that I just wasn't going to let have a foothold on me, because I felt like the Lord had given me a message and he'd given me an opportunity. I mean, a stinking book contract and Bible study contract. He'd given me this incredible once in a lifetime opportunity. Hopefully twice in a lifetime, maybe three, but this opportunity to really see the dream come to pass. So I felt like this was obedience looked like sitting my butt down and writing each day and going before the Lord and asking for him to direct my thoughts and my words. So nope, I kept my mom time, and my writing time, and I wanted to be offer the best I could at both.
I love that. Thank you. I
Oh
need
yeah,
that.
girl.
Oh
Shoot,
my
absolutely. I
gosh.
just think that too many of us feel like guilty for pursuing our dreams, and no longer, that is not what we were supposed to live like. That's not our lives.
Well, tell me too, then, how, especially that internal stuff that you talked about, how's God met you in that and just like reminded you of that? This is obedience. This is what he made me for.
Yeah. I think when I see women who are blessed, and I'm just overwhelmed that the power of God would choose to use my little itty bitty words, and whether they be spoken or written, and seeing how it can impact another person's life and encourage them right where they are at, I think that is the game changer. I think another way that the Lord really helped me overcome this was a dear friend of mine. She's in her last year of graduate school to be a counseling psychologist. And anytime I was like, this is so much, and I just feel like when you tell a story, it's hard to not tell it with all the details, whether they put, you in a vulnerable position or other people in a vulnerable position. And she would just remind me, this is your story. You cannot apologizing for telling your story, and your pain is real. And what God's done is a blessing not only to you, but to everyone else. So really seeing that what God has done is not for meant, all that beauty and wholeness and health that he's brought to me, that's not meant to be hoarded up. That's meant to be given away. So really seeing this as this is not even about me. This is truly what I'm partnering with him to do for so many people, and getting to see the blessing. That's pretty beautiful.
I'm hitting pause on the interview for just a second so I can tell you a little bit about Patreon. I've just launched my page, and this is a great way for you to get more involved with the Devoted Dreamers podcast and express your confidence and support for helping women find the strength, courage, and camaraderie we all need to pursue our God-shaped dreams. And no matter what you personally decide about giving to my Patreon campaign, I will continue to interview amazing women who will encourage us all, because this is my passion. I so love introducing you to women who are following their God-shaped dreams, mostly so that you might do the same. But if you've gotten incredible value from these interviews, I would love to invite you to consider becoming a patron of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. You can find my page at patreon.com/devoteddreamerspodcast. There you can read and listen to a video about why I'm doing all of this and hear all the benefits of getting more involved in the show. One of those things is a patron feed on the site where you can access early release content and additional perks as a thank you for choosing to get more involved as a loyal friend and follower of the podcast. This is special content just for you if you choose to be a patron. My goal here is to really build a community, because I needed encouragement to follow my dream, and I know that you do too. So I hope you'll consider getting involved. Check it out over at patreon.com/devoteddreamerspodcast.
So you bring up friends and the importance of having people in your life to kind of point you back to that truth. And I've got one of your friends right here on recording, which I wanted to play for you. So this is your friend Jody, and you can tell us more about her after we hear from her. Hold on.
Hey there, my name is Jody Dietrich, and it's such a privilege to pop into the Devoted Dreamers podcast to cheer on one of my very favorite people, the amazing Tiffany Bloom. You know, the word amazing is thrown around a lot these days and kind of overused. I could be guilty of that, but not when it comes to Tiffany. In fact, amazing might just be an understatement in describing this young woman, because when you hear her powerful story, when you understand her background and the obstacles she's already overcome in her life, when you see the size of her heart and the depth of her courage on display by the way she radically loves and lives for Jesus and others, well, I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me. There is something very unique and compelling about Tiffany Bloom. And here's where it gets even more exciting for me. Finally, the world will get to know the Tiffany I know and receive the benefits of what she's learned about God's redemptive love through the release of her brand new book, Never Alone. I'm so excited because so many lives are going to be transformed through this book and study. I just know it. And Tiffany, girl, I am so proud of you. Keep being your amazing self and know that I love you and I'm cheering you on always and always.
Stop.
Sweet
You do this
friend.
all the time. This is wild. Who does that? That's
Not all
crazy
the time.
talk. Oh my goodness.
Well,
Oh my
I just think
goodness.
it's so important. Like, we've got to remind ourselves we cannot walk this road alone, and we need those
Absolutely.
cheerleaders. And I know you told me you have a team for your SIP ministry. Like, you did not,
I didn't arrive here
accomplish
by
it.
myself.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So,
I do want to share a little more about Jodi. She is the
please.
author of The Jesus Hearted Woman, a beautiful book about just what it means to be a woman who leads just right where she's at. And in my early days, when I felt like I knew that God had called me to teach, and Jodi, she was writing for she had a Seattle Times column at that time, which she had taken it over after Mark Driscoll had started to watch. Write for the Washington Post. And she said, Tiffany, you can blog, and that is incredible, and that is amazing. And it can sometimes be lost in the digital world. But when you write a book, she's like, it is in print. It's not going anywhere. It gives you such an authority more than you could even imagine right now. And knowing that the Lord can just really increase your ministry tenfold through a book. And so she was the one, that was 10 years ago, she told me that. And to celebrate all that's happened in this last week, and to think of her encouragement along the way has been a really, really sweet thing.
That's awesome. Well, I'm hoping to bring her on the podcast too, so we'll
Oh,
get
you
to
will
hear
be
from her
so
maybe.
blessed. So blessed.
Thank you for connecting me to her.
Yes.
Well, can you tell us, is there a verse that you have been leaning on as you've kind of walked up to this day of completing the book and having it launch and all of that?
Yeah, there is. I would say a verse that has really stuck out to me in this season and in this time is Psalm 16:11, and it's, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forevermore." And I really have just found, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what victories, no matter what tragedies, the joy is the companionship of Christ. We are not alone, not on this day, not on any day. He is near, he draws near, he is acquainted with our grief, and we never have to go through this life alone.
So, advice. What would you say to the devoted dreamers out there who are struggling to pursue their dream, trying to find the time, trying to figure out what the dream is, wherever they're at? What's your advice to them?
I would say two things. Where there's a will, there's a way. What is for you will not pass you. When you have this dream beating in your heart, it's for a reason. The Lord isn't planting the same dream in all of us. Yours is unique, handcrafted, bespoke, just for you. And whatever it takes, if it means up in the wee hours, or if it means swapping childcare, if that's your season of life, or if it means investing some of your own money, whatever the case may be, missed opportunities are what eat at us the most. Those are our regrets, missed opportunities. Yeah, we can regret the things we've done, but by God's grace, hopefully we're learning from them. But I think that those moments when we feel like I can't go on unless I give this a good old-fashioned whack, because we get one life, so make it count. And then I think the other thing is be teachable. Be teachable. There are people out there doing maybe something similar to what you want to do, maybe right dead on what you want to do. Learn from them. Sit at their feet. There's so much to learn. I think about in the early days when I was actually on maternity leave when I started this current blog that I'm at now, tiffanybloom.com. I blogged in, you know, MySpace and various WordPress.com blogs, but nothing like what I'm committed to now. Anyway, I met with a blogger in town her full-time income is her blog. And that wasn't my goal. My goal was just exposure, and getting my words in front of people and wondering how on earth that happens. And she sat me down and she's like, here is what I wish somebody would have told me 3 years ago. And she just gave me all of her best practices, tips and tricks. And I was able to move faster and quicker and smarter because of her expertise and because of her, advice. And I just wouldn't be able to trade that for the world. And I would just say, find somebody who's doing what you want to do or the kind of person you want to be and sit at their feet, learn what they have to say, learn what they've done, what works, what doesn't work. There's probably a gift wrapped up for you in that.
That's beautiful. Especially, like you said, to be able to move faster towards a goal when you got those little kids at home. You have to make the most of your time. So that's awesome. How about some books or podcasts or anything else that's been influential to you in this process?
Oh, yeah. I would say one of the books that has just really been an encouragement to me is Notorious RBG about the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And it's just her life story of how she got to where she is today and her college experience, her early career, becoming a Supreme Court Justice. It is the most encouraging read. It talks about her relationship with her husband and just the healthy marriage they had and the equality they had in their marriage and the way they cheered each other on. And he even says, his name was Marty before he passed, and he just passed a few years ago, but he said, I was attracted to her because of her intelligence. She was just so smart, and I loved that. I just stuck with it. In fact, I remember when I was reading it, I was sitting in the car crying because it was just so beautiful. So that's a book that's been really, really encouraging to me that I really enjoyed. And seeing even some of the beautiful things that we as women enjoy today, like maternity leave, that's partly because of women like her who have really paved the way for us to thrive the way we do and really give vision for the future. A podcast that's been encouraging to me is NPR's How I Built This. It's just stories of entrepreneurs that many of us know their household names today, but just hearing about where they came from and how they've made their way. One of my favorite ones is an interview with Kate and Andy Spade of the brand Kate Spade and how they built that and how they made that. That was just incredible. I am an entrepreneur at heart, not for business, but really for ministry and being able to gather women and seeing how things are built and dreaming of, give me limited resources and I will build something. Like, that's my heart. I love to take little and build something that wasn't there before. Another good one on that podcast, actually, if anybody is going to go check it out, is with Howard Schultz. It, again, just so powerful of how he built what he did, the capital and the influential brand that it is today of Starbucks. I'm from the Seattle area, so it's not just the big box store for me. It's still the coffee shop from up the street. So it's pretty exciting. So I really recommend that one.
Oh, those are great. Okay. I'll put all that in the show notes. And yeah, let us know how we can find your book and Bible study.
Yeah, the book and Bible study, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, Books A Million, Cokesbury, ChristianBook.com. It's just about wherever online books are sold. And of course, in store at those places like Barnes & Noble and Lifeway and different things like that. So yes, really excited. And my blog, tiffanybloom.com. I hang out on Instagram and Twitter at Tiffany Bloom.
And people can get a free chapter of the book on your website. Is that right?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Thanks for reminding me on that. You can actually get a free chapter of the book and a free first week of the Bible study, the whole week, as well as the first video session for free.
And is it ideal to have both of those together, the book and the Bible study? Is it something?
They are, I mean, obviously. They are standalone. They're standalone okay. items. You can do one without the other. Absolutely. But obviously it's a little sweeter when you can do it all, but yeah. One is dependent on the other.
Okay. Awesome. Well, it looks incredible, and we didn't have time to go deep, deep, deep into your story, so I guess we've got to go read your book, right?
You got it. You got to go read my book. There's a love lost of getting dumped right before I married a man that was 3,000 miles away. I mean, adoption, abandonment, all kinds of goodies tucked in there.
All right. That's awesome. Well, Tiffany, will you close us out just talking about how God has changed you through this experience of making the most of your time, of pursuing through obedience what he's put on your heart? How are you different today as a result of that?
Through all of these experiences, I would say that more than ever, I believe in what I've learned is humility and compassion are everything. Humility and compassion are everything. Understanding that we exist to love God and love each other. And that brings us to humbling places and spaces to see people with the eyes of Christ. And I'm so grateful for all of the hard moments because they've made me who I am.
If you have ever struggled, like I do, to find time for your dream, this was the episode for you. I am walking away from this conversation with Tiffany with so many great tips, but also a beautiful reminder of our Savior's love. If you're listening to this, whether on Valentine's Day or even later in the year, I want you to know I prayed for you before Tiffany and I talked. I prayed that you would really sense his love for you as a result of hearing this conversation. Prayed that this Hallmark holiday would not be a source of loss or a reminder of rejection or a disappointment, that all of those things in your heart that long to be loved, that you would find that hope and encouragement and adoration from our precious Savior. Beyond that, I definitely had other takeaways from this conversation. So here they are. Number one, dump the mom guilt. Gosh, that was convicting. I love every moment I have with my daughter and miss her when we're not together. But yes, I do believe that if God's given me something to do with my life, a dream on my heart, in addition to being a wife, a mother, and a daughter, then it's my responsibility to pursue that dream. So thank you, Tiffany, so much for that reminder. Takeaway number two, that we need to make the most of our time, no matter how little that time is. Maybe we'll have to ask for help with kids or get up early or sit at our computer when we'd rather be watching Netflix. But if we don't, we're going to miss that opportunity in this one life that God has given us. And then number three, that gem at the end, Tiffany's advice to sit at the feet of someone you admire who's doing what you'd like to be doing and learn from them. It takes humility and courage to ask for help, and that is so good for us. One more thing that I wonder if you're noticing about our God-shaped dreams. This keeps coming up again and again for me, and it was totally kind of in my face in this interview. And that's that our dreams are so often about others. How can we love and serve the people in front of us or the group of people we're passionate about? And that all of this is not really about me. Thanks for listening to this repeat episode of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. I'm doing this all summer long, resharing some of my favorites that you might have missed, but I will be back with new episodes in September. Until then, come find me in my Devoted Dreamers Insiders group on Facebook, and don't forget to grab those journaling questions at my website, meritansa.com/store, to help you process what you've heard here today. Thank you again so much for joining me. And wherever you are with your God-shaped dreams, may you have the courage to take one step toward their realization today.